bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by Wired Tree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello and welcome to After Things. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Justin Robert Young.
Oh, hello.
Brian Brushwood.
Yo, yo, yo.
Bryce Castillo.
Hey, everybody, that's me.
And our special guest, Brian Thomas Schmidt.
What it is.
So for those of you who listen to Weird Things, haven't listened before, Brian is a very highly recognized science fiction author, editor, etc. He was an editor on The Martian by Andy Weir. And if you heard about that book, if you haven't, I'm sorry. Brian more recently was the editor and assembled the anthology of the Predator anthology, If It Bleeds, which I got to have a story in there. And now he's got a brand new book out called Simon Says. It's a John Simon thriller. And I'm going to give you a quote from Mr. Jonathan Mayberry, no less. Simon Says is packed with action, snarky humor, action, great characters, and even more action. A dynamic read cover to cover. But does it have an action?
A question that you can only answer if you buy it.
You'll have to read it to find out.
Yeah. So, Brian, you've been involved in publishing for a number of years in both writing, editing, et cetera. And we have a lot of people who on this listen to us, whatever, talk to us. Some of our aspirational writers, so many people want to do that. And let's give a hypothetical case. Let's say somebody's finished a book and they want to know what to do with the book now. What do you do in 2019, 2020? What is the publishing landscape like? How do you take something from somebody's manuscript to a finished product? Because you've done it in both published, self-published, all the different areas. What's your suggestion or pathway?
What you're saying, they've got the manuscript, it's done, they're ready to submit it. What path should they take?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, that's a broad question. What resources do they have?
You have 2 minutes to answer it.
Go.
What resources do you have? Do you know somebody in publishing who can get you in touch with people? Are you really good at going out and finding email addresses, which I am, online?
A minute and 45 seconds.
If not, do you have the resources and ability to get a book self-published and put it out in a way that's of quality that will not embarrass you? Because it's seriously important to put out a quality product, because, you know, people may never look at your name again if you don't. All of those kind of things. Can you afford an editor? All of those kind of things. Then you need to make decisions about, and tracking those people down is really easy to do. You just have to ask other people who they use and who they know, and you'll go from there. And I think, there's any number of valid paths, as Andrew said. And I think your main thing is how much are you willing to put into it yourself? How much do you want to rely on other people? What is the path that you're most comfortable with? That's the real
I think out of everything you just mentioned, the one that piqued my interest immediately is a version of the question, who do you know that knows? You know, that 6 degrees of separation thing, you truly are no more than 6 introductions away from anyone who is a gatekeeper to get you in front of whatever your project on a bigger platform.
Let me give you an example, and this is pretty cool. This just happened to me. I wrote a screenplay in March. It's something I've been thinking of for a long time. It's about a little person artist who is getting evicted, and he falls back on his teaching degree to make money and survive, and ends up in an inner city school with troubled kids, and he ends up teaching art and turning their lives and his own life around, and it's called The Art Teacher. I wrote it with Peter Dinklage in mind. It was inspired by, in part, my relationship with some real little people and seeing The Station Agent, among other things. It's now sitting in Peter Dinklage's hands. He's reading it this weekend, all right? From March, all right? I don't know Peter Dinklage. I've never met him before, but I knew enough people that people were able to get it in his hands in less than 6 months. That's one advantage of all the stuff we've been talking about today about the technology and, the internet and all that. You're in a community, and that community is very large, and somebody can get it to the right people. However, you need to do the due diligence to make sure that what you're giving them is something that they're going to want to see. That's the tricky part. If you establish yourself, if people are like, wow, I got something from Andrew Main and that was total crap, they're not going to want to see anything from Andrew Main again. I mean, there's a possibility. I'm using Andrew as an example, but his stuff is not crap. But I'm just saying that because all he does is just like use a magic spell and turn it into genius. And so he's, like a god. So, unfortunately, you know, he's not normal like the rest of us. But my point is, joking aside, you've got to make sure that what you're putting out there is worth putting out there to the degree that you're going to get notice. And that means you got to decide, you know, you've got to, if you don't know who an editor is to help you, ask around, use your network to find somebody. If you don't know artists that can do a good cover for you, if you can't do book layout, same process. That's what I mean. You, chances are, whether you know it or not, you know somebody who can help you find somebody. So you.
So let's imagine like a hypothetical, you know, my name is Mandrew Ain, and I don't know anybody in publishing. I've been writing kind of for as a hobby for a number of years. I'm not in this podcasting. I'm not in this Twitter thing. I don't know another writer. I don't know a thing. What would be a good starting point? Would you say like I knew people who got writing deals after going to some of these smaller science fiction fantasy conventions and meeting publishers and editors. Not the first day they went, not the first time they went, but after a couple of years developing relationships with people, is that maybe a good use of time? Is to say start going to convention.
Here's the simple long and short of it. Everything that involves entertainment of any form, whether it's acting, directing, writing, whatever, whether it's books, screenplays, whatever, networking is what's going to get you there. Now, networking can take many forms in this day and age, but the more you can put yourself in the right spot to have the opportunity to meet people who can help you, the better success you're going to have. So basically, if you want to go to some of these little writing workshops and stuff, that's an opportunity. Make sure you do the due diligence to find out it's one that is actually legit, where there's good quality and has a good rep, and maybe even some people who are connected better than you are going to attend it. You don't want to just go to Joe Blow writing conference thrown by some guy who's never, there's a lot of people who put stuff out there that really it's not going to help you at all. You got to make sure that you're picking the right one. If you want to go on Twitter and write to your favorite author and say, here's what I'm doing. Could you point me in any direction of how to find somebody to help me with editing or whatever? You'll be surprised how many people will help you.
One of the things you've done, which I think is really cool, is you've done the Predator anthology, If It Bleeds, where you assembled different writers who got a write in the universe of Predator. I think, did you do that with Alien too?
No, Jonathan Mayberry did that.
So what other, you've done some other anthologies, those
I
two
did
like
X-Files,
that.
X-Files, but I was one of the writers on an X-Files anthology.
All right. So what's like with, so when you did, Predator If It Bleeds, you were able to bring people in, what did you look for stories? What was the guidance? I assume you had input from Fox or the rights holders. How did that work?
Well, Fox dealt with Titan. Everything ran through Fox. Fox had to sign off. It's the same process that we had when we did the Jonathan Mayberry Joe Ledger anthology in his literary universe and Monster Hunter Files in Larry Correa's universe. We had, the people who are the intellectual property owners get to sign off on everything we do. They signed off at a pitch stage, and then they signed off in the final and made appropriate changes and asked for whatever changes needed to be made to make it, as close to being canon as possible. And all these projects we're talking about here, X-Files, Predator, Monster Hunter, Joe Ledger, they all went through that same process. It takes various forms. Titan, in the case of Predator, sent my Predator manuscript over to Fox, and Fox people signed off on it. Told us what we needed to fix, what we didn't need to fix, so on and so forth. I actually think, they're not, and I don't, far be it for me to criticize Fox, but Fox is such a big organization. We actually probably got less feedback in that regard from Fox than I wish we'd had a little more. But with, Joe Ledger, with the authors we dealt with on the Monster Hunter, Joe Ledger, we got a lot more direct feedback about those kind of things. And it varies. Different author stories. I read everything Predator out there that I could find, every novel, every graphic novel, every comic book I could find. I read almost everything that existed, watched all the movies. So I did a lot of that work before the stories even went to Fox. Didn't always happen. Certain anthologies that I know of along this line, there was a lot more feedback from Fox because they didn't have somebody who was acting as gatekeeper that way.
So that's helpful that you knew that. So let me ask a self-publishing question. I have a manuscript, let's say, and I want to go out there. So I'm going to go self-publish it, How do you find editors? How do you find people like this to help you with this?
Well, I've got my editing links out on my website. I've got the blurbs and how to get a hold of me and what my rates are and all that. And there's lots of people like me. The number one way the number one thing is you need to make sure that I know what I'm doing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, you probably guess I can because I've got credits like The Martian and some Alan Dean Foster and Frank Herbert books and other books that I've edited. Plus, I've got all these books that are published, anthologies by major publishers. So you can probably assume I know something about what I'm doing. But there's a lot of people, anybody can put their editing shingle out and they don't necessarily have any good credits. But so the number one thing you need to do is you need to not only find somebody who knows about them or has used them, look at their client list. If they're not willing to publish their client list or give you the names of clients as references, then you want to walk away because it's the number one sign that they're, you know, they could be problematic. I don't have any problem listing my clients out there. Go out and ask my clients about me. No problem. Go ahead. You know, I want you to know that I'm the right fit for you. Ask them how I work. Ask them my approach to editing. What's my style? Ask for a free sample. Say, I want you to do a sample 10-page edit and show me your process so I know whether it feels right to me. I always do that for people. I want it to be a good fit too, because I want to have a good experience. I've had plenty of bad ones.
So like on your page, you talk about you offer your editing services to do this sort of stuff, and you talk what it costs per hour. Now, I would have no idea if I said, oh, I had a 100,000-word book and I wanted copy edits, how would I figure out like pricing on that or what that would, you know, cost?
Well, I probably need to update that a little bit. But the reality of it is I basically can do between 3,500 and 4,500 words an hour, and it depends on the quality of the manuscript. All right.
Okay.
So I have to do an assessment. And then when I look at your, I will always ask for sample chapters. I want some from the beginning, some from the middle, and some from the end, because quite frankly, my experience is the beginnings of novels are always more polished than later parts of it, because people have spent more time working on their beginnings. So I may look at something and think this is a really clean, really good edit, and then I get into it and it's like, oh my God, you know, that's happened to me more times than I can count. So I need to get a sense of how much work is it going to be, and then I will give them an estimate along the scale of between 3,500 to 4,500 words an hour. What do I think? And then against those hourly rates. And I'll always tell them, you know, this is what it is.
I know an author with an extensive back catalog that's looking to have maybe one or two of his books copy edited, and he may be reaching out to you shortly after the podcast.
Okay. I mean, I'm always happy to do it. Honestly, if they're the further along they are, copy editing is dependent on what type of copy editing I'm doing is generally faster than, you know, line edits and developmental edits, where I have to do multiple passes and think about multiple levels too. So,
well, could you explain for listeners like the difference between a developmental edit and a copy edit? Just you know, the brief sort of Twitter summary.
The developmental edit is where you're talking about story and characters and structure and overall storytelling, things on a level of the structure. When you're getting into copy editing, you're actually dealing with line editing and copy editing. Line editing is actually when I'm actually going through and line by line editing for grammar and repetitive words and character names and anything and everything. And, you know, are you using too many sentences that are exactly the same? They all start with because, mm-hmm. or they're all compound. Do you have a mix of the types of sentences? How's your pace? Those kind of things. When it comes to copy editing, I'm getting more into something that's probably been through line editing and developmental editing, hopefully. And I'm just cleaning it up. And I'm looking, and if you hire me to do fact checking, which I hope you don't, because that's not my favorite part of the copy editing process, I will also be doing fact checking to find out, did you make this crap up or did you actually check your facts? Do you have errors that need to be fixed? Do you have citations that need to be put in? All this kind of stuff. Is it current? Are you dated? You know, that was a fact 10 years ago, but unfortunately it's not anymore. They've debunked it. Mm-hmm. You look like an idiot. You need to fix that. You know what I mean? You want somebody to do that for you. Believe me, you do. But it's another part of the copy editing process as well. There's also things like some copy editors, I don't do this because it's not my training, but some of the copy editors in New York who probably are far more professional copy editors and strictly copy editors as opposed to all the things I do, will actually give you a word count exactly how many times every word is used in your book, which I find unbelievable to me that they can actually do that. I don't know how much time they spend counting that, but they actually can tell you, you know, how many times you use specific words. They'll actually make a list like you can use for a glossary of all things, all that stuff. So they're kind of, it's more, much more technical copy editing than line editing, and developmental editing is not technical at all. It's really more about craft.
Mm-hmm. The several stages, it takes a lot, and I sometimes skip those stages, which, you know, I would regret. Any resources or things like this you'd recommend for people to check out? Any favorite books or stuff on the topic of writing? Or,
well, I do have a book called How to Write a Novel, where I cover all this stuff, and I think it's actually pretty helpful. My blog has write tips, and if you look on blog, there's a drop down menu for just the write tips posts, where I cover a lot of these kind of craft, and I'm slowly putting bits and pieces the entire book How to Write a Novel on there. On top of that, I published on my blog a list of, and published in How to Write a Novel, a list of the great writing books that I admire. But I would say the Elements of Fiction series by Writer's Digest, some of which are no longer like actively being printed, but you can track them down used very easily on Amazon or in bookstores. The Elements of Fiction writing is a great series. They have books on plot, dialogue, description, setting, so on and so forth. Very helpful stuff. Very good stuff. Stephen King's On Writing is a book that every writer ought to read. And there's a book, what is it called? On Writing Well. It's actually, I can't remember the name of the author, I always forget, but it is a classic. And it's more focused on nonfiction, but everything he says applies to fiction too. It's an amazing book.
So your book, How to Write a Novel, by the way, for everybody, it's 99 cents on Amazon. Look up Brian Thomas Schmidt. It's 99 cents. It's a great way to start from there, and I think you can get a good take on that. You have a quote from Mr. Scott Sigler, who's a friend of all of ours. So
yeah, Mr. Sigler was very kind.
So there you go.
There's two. There's that one, and there's the one that's actually on the cover of the book too. That's different. So
cool. We guys wanted to, so my pick is How to Write a Novel, The Fundamentals of Fiction by Mr. Brian Thomas Schmidt, as well as take a look at his other books in his on the topic of that. Go to Brian's website, check it out. If you're looking for somebody who is, you know, if he's good enough to edit Andy Weir, I think he could probably handle, you know, somebody else. So,
and I'll double down on writing. That was a fantastic read, just about the craft. And I think that Stephen King gives his take in a very approachable way. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, the first half of the book is really his autobiography. The second half of the book, he actually talks about craft and he gives examples, and it's very insightful.
My pick is an Associated Press story out today, entitled "Fake News, No Jobs: Prospective Journalists Soldier On," in which my former place of work and a place I've talked about a lot, the Daily Orange, is chronicled. So it's a great thing that goes into just where journalism is on college campuses and the kind of stuff that people have to go through to keep that business alive, which is fully independent. And if you would like to donate, donate.dailyorange.com, because they're about to have their house bulldozed in 10 days by a private university so they can build more dorms and continue to perpetuate the student debt complex.
If we are doing picks, I will give you a pick. It's The Emotion Thesaurus, The Writer's Guide to Character Expression. This is by Angela Ackerman and Becca Pugliosi. You can see how beat up this is, because this is the only writing craft book I carry with me everywhere when I'm writing. This, cool. I have it on ebook too, but I don't like to flip back and forth away from my manuscript, so I just carry this book. This will tell you if a person is hopeful or angry, what are the physical signs, what are the internal sensations, what are the mental responses, what are the acute signs, all these things that help you write sensory, the five senses, much better, and actually create a visceral landscape for your book.
Very cool. Thank you very much, guys, for joining us. Brian, thank you very much, you know, for being here. We'll see you all on the internet next time.
Ah, oh, that's our catchphrase.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.